Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we have an exciting show. We have two shows in one. And the first half of the program, we'll be talking with internationally renowned artist Christos Kotsouras. I love saying his name. Christos Kotsouras is Greek. He has an opening on Saturday, August 12th, second Saturday at Imogen Gallery, which is celebrating its fifth anniversary in downtown Astoria. And the theme is Big Red, the beloved Netloff shed in the Columbia River here in Astoria. We'll be talking about that with Christos in the first half of the program. Christos, I'm so happy you're here.
I'm happy to be here.
Excellent. And the second half of the program, we're going to be talking about the Nettel Grange fundraiser. It's a contra dance. It's a pie auction. And the sponsor, Blue Scorcher Bakery and Cafe, is also preparing a vegetarian dinner. That's happening the day after Christo's opening at Imogen. It is on Sunday, August 13th at 3 o'clock at the Nettel Grange. And in the studio to talk about this fun experience is Dave Ambrose. Dave is the secretary of the Nettel Grange. Hi, Dave.
Good morning.
And I also have Gary Sunderland, who is the master of the Nettel Grange. Hi, Gary.
Good morning, Donna.
So we'll be talking with him in the second half of the program, and then at the end we'll bring it all together, hopefully. All right. So Christos Kotsouras.
Yes.
For listeners who may not be familiar with your dramatic, powerful, incredible work, please tell the listening audience just a little bit about yourself, because your background, your history informs what you do.
Well, I mean, being born and grown up close to the water, where I spent also a big time of my life, a big part of my life working as a merchant marine, and there's not a surprise that I'm here in Astoria now, above the river, working on the Big Red and approaching the aesthetics of the water differently. I mean, with brows and the color and shapes.
And you live in Greece and you live in Astoria and you travel all over the world.
Yes, I do. I'm in that lucky position to be able to take my work on different places and share that with people speaking different languages, but at the same time sharing the same thoughts and problems and aesthetics and like people in Astoria and in Greece and in Germany or in Denmark, where it's making for me I've been living away from Greece for so many years, but I'm still the Greek, and I like that in a way. And but there is the culture you're born into it, the culture that you born and grow to, the books and school and the talks of the family and the friends, and then is the culture you acquire along as you go along your life.
Yes, I
places
know.
Places you visit,
yes.
And people you meet, and cultures you're like agree or also disagree with. So.
So you're constantly looking at, well, just as water is always changing and always moving, you know, you're kind of doing that throughout the world. And actually, you're leaving for Denmark for your solo show. You've had exhibitions in, you know, Germany, in New York, a museum in Indianapolis. You've just finished producing a documentary.
Yes, we did. Last year, we were in Greece with some friends. We just got together out of an accident, and we decided to do a documentary. It was just like an idea of the moment. And there's a very nice piece of work which is coming out in the spring of 2018 as part of the exhibition in Indianapolis.
At the museum there. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I know you have spent the last couple of years working on Big Red. And so for people who aren't familiar with Big Red, Big Red is a net loft shed. It's kind of one of the last vestiges of Oregon's salmon canning era that's still in existence. And actually in 2012, the Historic Preservation League of Oregon named that building to its 2012 list of most endangered places in Oregon. It's a beautiful building, again, built in 1900. Royal Nebaker and his wife, Sarah Nebaker. Royal, unfortunately, we lost Royal a couple of years ago. Sarah Nebaker still owns the building. And so there's work going on. And you know that building intimately. You have been inside working. You've outside. So now you have paintings, large and small,
right,
of Big Red, which will be shown for the first time on Saturday night, August 12th.
Well, I came to Astoria for that one exhibition I wanted to work, 2010, 2011. I ended up becoming friends with Nebikers and with several people here in Astoria. And through that, I really was able to be in the building and create not only a body of work, but several exhibitions. And also create a very intimate relationship to the building and the idea of Royal, where he was thinking for the building to become a space where international artists are coming together and creating. And
that's still the dream and the goal, is to restore, after the storm of 2007, which twisted the roof off and created a lot of damage, and I know Royal lost a lot of his work in that storm. Now there is a local group working to restore the building so that it can be a space for artists.
Right. Well, 2015, we had another damage. The bridge went down. I was out of the studio for about a year and a half. But I kept working on that theme, like throughout my travels as well in Germany and in Greece. So there was always there on my little notebook and progressing the image to come down to those paintings that we're going to see on Saturday the 12th.
And I have the catalog, and I will tell you the paintings are spectacular. I really encourage you to go to Imogen on Saturday night. And I want to also read just a little mission statement. Terry Sund is the owner of Imogen, and 5 years ago she opened. And you had no representation here, right, before Terry?
No, I do not. It was, I wasn't even thinking of having a representation here. Astoria for me was a place where I come do my work, and I saw it somewhere else. Until Terry decides to open Imogen.
Right.
We all just like come together to that nice.
Well, the two of you have a fabulous working relationship, and so I do want to honor Terry. It takes a lot of courage to open a gallery. You know, when we have a lot of marvelous galleries here, and we did have 5 years ago even. So I just want to quickly read her statement. I asked her if she would just she was a little shy, didn't want to come on the radio. She wanted you to have she wanted people to know about your work, Christos, and to really honor you. So, I just read this brief statement. So Imogen Gallery joined the vibrant art community for Astoria's second Saturday Art Walk, August 11th of 2012. So 5 years on Saturday night, August 12th this year. The gallery exhibits contemporary works by accomplished international artists and local emerging talent. Represented artists all share the common thread of passion and professionalism for what they do, which translates to original and compelling style. The gallery maintains a focus on quality, fine art, and craft, while also cultivating a space that enriches the community and culture which surrounds it. After careful thought and consideration and viewing the space shared with Cargo, this is Terry Sun talking, I made the decision to open Imogen. While still in college working towards an art degree, I'd planned on someday opening my own space, but after some 30 years of working both in for profit and nonprofit art galleries, I was critically aware of what a daunting business it can be. Working in the arts is not for the timid. Having met and gotten to know the work of Christos Koutsouras, who had no representation west of Indianapolis, and then Jim DeFeo contacting me about the space next to Cargo, I decided if I was to do it, this was the space and the time. So you were key to this.
Right.
You were key to her opening Imogen. My intention was to add to what was already a vibrant and established art community, bringing in a small venue, boutique in style, of highly curated works by Northwest artists of all professional levels. And my goal was to provide a casual space where all people felt comfortable. I'm pleased to say I work with highly art-savvy collectors from across the country, as well as individuals who may be purchasing their very first piece of original art. Reaching the first-time buyer is incredibly gratifying to me. Seeing the spark of delight when someone realizes the importance of work created by an artist and taking pride in having it on their walls and how it feeds them. This is what it's all about for me, connecting the artist with their audience. Thank you, Terry, because without you, Terry, we would not be seeing Christos Koutsouras' work.
And that is correct.
Here.
That is correct. And several other things, like being able to kind of like steer the waters and just beginning conversation, which is always good for everybody.
Yes, like, absolutely.
New ideas and new images and new, yeah, there will be out, layout for discussion and
I just read something. It said, Christos was talking to a friend and happened to show her some photos of his new work. And having known the artist and his work for many years, she told him, you used to paint people like architecture. Right. And now you paint architecture like people. What does that mean to you?
Well, when you look at the red building, for instance, let's start from the title of the exhibition. It's like a little bit surrealistic. The title of it is Venetian Red for Despina.
Okay, that's for you who think he has a slight accent, that yes, you are correct. There's a slight, have you been told Venetian, that you have a slight?
Yeah,
yes,
yes,
okay. Okay, so Americans would probably say Venetian Red for Despina. That's
right.
Probably what they'd say. Okay,
exactly.
But you say it the way you just said it.
And that was a note I had on my notebook for a work I was supposed to do in Germany, and it went away. It never been finished. So when I was looking for a title for the work, I found that note, and I thought, okay, that's it. Great curiosity, red, big red, but I didn't want to put the big red as a title. But when you look at the building, what you can see the time that has come through, the whole history of it. It's just like...
it's like looking at a person's face with all the wrinkles and,
exactly,
and the aging.
It's very existential in itself. And not only in itself, but also for our society, and mostly today, where we have a society that have a very short memory. I mean, we don't like to think about things because they're not comfortable and they're not easy. And then we have a building like this in front of us, which is, in all its dilapidation and decay, it's aesthetically beautiful.
It is. It
and,
is
of course,
beautiful.
Putting it against that amazing background of the river and the sky and the mountains, that's poetry. That's aesthetics, that's paintings, that's sit down and look at it. I mean, I've seen people been photographing it and been seen people sitting out there and longing to go into the building and cannot do that. Mm.
It has a personality. Big mm-hmm. Red has a personality, mm-hmm. and you have captured it in all these different environments. There are black and whites there. It's you've gotten the mood, the feeling, the vibration of during different times.
It's not the first time that I'm working with a red building. The first time I did it was 2011 for the Indianapolis Museum of Contemporary Art exhibition, which was only one painting, very realistic in a way that you knew that was the building and very graphic. And then I did an installation. It was a wood construction. Where was living crabs of like little things that you can look into it, but you cannot really get like the big red. So you get that agony. What happens in there? And you want to go in, but if you don't have the keys, then you cannot walk into it. Or somebody else, you have to walk, take you and walk into it. And I have recorded the wind going through the cracks in the building with 50 miles an hour. And that was the sound background. That was actually Royal Sun. It was Israel who did the mix.
Blind Pilot from recorded some of their... Yes, absolutely, recorded in the Big Red.
How more art you want to really realize and the need for a space for this town here to... That this is an artistic space. That, yes, it's been a cannery. Yes, there were been working people. There were been packing fish. But it's an artistic space.
This is really your tribute to this amazing historic
correct.
Building.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in about where I see part of my life ending and a new one beginning, but I don't really need to leave that space in a way that leave it the way it is, but being able to transform it and give it a function that it deserves.
Well, I think people are going to look at that space, which I think you're right, is an iconic structure. Mm-hmm. It's like a museum in the water, in a way.
That is correct.
And so you have honored that its history, the integrity of the structure, what it's been through. And I think people see that in the work. That's very powerful work. It's incredible, actually.
Thank you
for doing that for this community. And I know I'm going to come back to you at the very end of the program because I know you have a couple other things you want to say. But really so fortunate to have you here, Christos.
Thanks.
And so I hope all of you will go to Imogen on Saturday night, which is second Saturday, and that's August 12th, again, the fifth anniversary celebration of Imogen and Christos Kotsoura's work. I think he is also going to be on Carol Newman's program next Friday,
yes.
A week from Friday,
yes.
Actually, just before the opening. And so I hope you will experience this. It's really quite a tribute to Big Red. I'm Donna Quinn. You've been listening to Talk of Our Towns, and we've been talking with the Greek artist Christos Koutsouras about his opening at Imogen on Saturday, August 12th. The second half of the program, we're now going to be talking about the Nettel Grange and a wonderful event that's happening, a pie auction, a vegetarian dinner prepared by Blue Scorcher, our favorite. Pies auctioned by Marianne Myers at Contra Dance. And in the studio to talk about that fundraiser, Maintain the Grange, I have Gary Sunderland. He is the master of the Nettel Grange. And I also have Dave Ambrose. So, Dave and Gary, please tell us a little bit about, for people who aren't familiar with a grange. What is a grange, and what is the Nettel Grange in particular?
Dave, why don't you go ahead and talk about that? You're the historical guy.
Okay.
Yeah, the whole grange movement was started just after the Civil War, believe it or not. And it was a vehicle for farmers to get some cultural uplifting, some educational uplifting, and a way to organize themselves to see what was going on in the world. It turned into quite a political movement because farmers had a lot of issues that they had to bring up with the government in a way. And so it became a vehicle for that. It exploded and grew all around the country. I'm not sure how many granges there are, but we have five of them in Clatsop County surviving. There were more. Membership in our grange was up to about 160 members at one time. Mm-hmm. And they had fabulous big dinners and big dances. And it was the focal point for the farming community, for the rural community. I don't want to say specifically farming community, but the rural community in our county. Over the years, the membership dropped off. Our grange was built in 1910. And so now we're down to from 160 members to about 16. But we struggle on because we love this building. We did some major repairs to it about 10 years ago, but we're facing some big repairs right now.
And the Nettel Grange is located where? Place it for those who...
It's almost 4 miles south of Miles Crossing on Lewis and Clark Road.
It's a wonderful building. I have been to dances there, mm-hmm. and you want to continue to keep it vibrant. And right now, you actually said, so what are some of the uses of the building right now for the community?
Well, recently, just this past year, we've been delighted to provide a space for the Salmonberry Hill Academy, which is kind of a
daycare.
It's a
preschool
homeschooling co-op hybrid. That's what they call it. And so during the school year, they're in that space and they have 25 to 30 students. And but we use the granges available for other uses during Christmas break, spring break, and maybe even on a weekend. Now and then, of course, through the entire summer.
Well, okay, so,
you know, Donna,
weddings,
what's interesting is that your host is, or your other guest here, they're making a big effort to try to keep Big Red open or reopen it because it's such a wonderful space. And we're doing the same thing, trying to keep the doors to the Grange open. Through this fundraiser that we're going to have, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So it's kind of on the same path, you know.
Well, that's what I thought while you were telling that it's all about preserving and extending culture, and those buildings, they really become the synonym, they become the image, the picture of.
Mm-hmm. I know that's what I found. My own personal experience has been that I joined the Grange soon after that I moved into the community here. And I've just come to love that building. And and of course, my major, the major thing about being me being the master is that I live close to it. That's my qualification.
And
that's why I was elected.
Yeah. And so the Grange is, at this point in time, it's being used by Salmon Berry Academy, and it's also available for people to rent out for weddings or potlucks or events or meetings or
picnics,
something like that.
Dinners. We've hosted some fairly large dinners there. It's a big space, and it's a big outdoor space. So it has the advantage of, if you're having a picnic and it's going to be outdoors, and God forbid that it rains that day, ha ha ha, going to rain that day.
Right.
You have the interior to gain refuge to it, and we make a concerted effort to keep the rental prices down as low as we can, so that so that people who couldn't afford to come into Astoria and rent a space for, say, a wedding reception, can rent our space.
That's really good to know. I think a lot of people may not have even thought about that. How do people find out? I mean, anyone can join the Grange, right? Anyone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And how would people find out about then renting the Grange for a family event or whatever?
Well, they can email me at dpwamb@charter.net. Right now, my phone service is out of whack, or else I'd give you my phone number.
Well, I will leave information here at the station, because I think it's important, because you all don't have a website. Is that correct?
No.
But if somebody Googled Nettel Grange, I wonder if that would come up. But anyway,
Something would.
We need to figure a way so people can do it, because that's a gorgeous space, and that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about this event on Sunday. Actually, you need some more pies. If there are some pie makers listening, and you would like to do something wonderful to keep the Nettel Grange going.
Yes, if you want to make a name for your pies, this is a good opportunity.
Make a name for your pies. This is the way to do it.
Yeah, the key event at the event that we're having on August 13th is, in terms of the fundraising, is our pie auction, which will follow the dinner that's being prepared by the Blue Scorcher. So if you are an accomplished pie maker, we're looking for donations to be auctioned off by Marianne Myers, who knows a few things about pies.
She does know a lot about pies.
And she's going to be the auctioneer, and so that event is going to be a lot of fun. And so you can contact Dave, or you can call me at 503-325-4510 if you would like to donate a pie. And so, if you do go on the web and put in the Nettel Grange, there's some information that you'll find on how to contact us.
So the Maintain the Grange at the Nettel Grange is happening on Sunday, August 13th. It's from 3 to 8. So it starts with a vegetarian dinner by Blue Scorcher at 3 p.m. The pie auction will probably be somewhere between 4:30 and 5-ish or something like that. And then there'll be the contra dance.
And then we'll clear the floor and have the contra dance.
Right. Yep.
Which is a ball.
And you can get tickets at the door. Tickets aren't anywhere. No. You don't buy tickets in advance. You just buy tickets at the door. It's a nominal fee. You're just asking for a donation, right?
Right. Adults, we're asking each adult to... $10 is the suggested price, but it's a sliding scale.
And you can
the Scorcher will have food for the kids, because some kids, you know, may not like that vegetarian stuff as much as we do. But that's free.
We have a Blue Scorcher. Are you kidding? Blue Scorcher vegetarian. Delicious. And then the pies. So if people want to donate pies, then they can get in touch with Dave Ambrose or Gary Sunderland.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And I will leave these numbers at the station. If you're driving and you think, I want to make a pie for that, I want to go to that event, it's going to be so much fun.
It is.
And the fact that you're now having that preschool is bringing more families.
Right.
And I think people are hungry for community. They're hungry for the kinds of things that the Nettel Grange offers. And so I would say, what a great weekend. It is also Regatta weekend, so there's so many things to do.
Always is.
But you can go to Christos Kotsouras opening on Saturday night, and then at Imogen, and then on Sunday at the Grange out in the country where it's bucolic and beautiful.
And let me just put in a plug for the dance.
The dance. Okay. Let's hear about the dance.
Contra dance. I'll be calling the dance. No experience needed.
Oh, and Dave is just a fantastic instructor. I mean, that's the first time that I attended a contra dance. I didn't even know what the heck it was all about. But he does about 15, 20, 30 minutes of beginning instruction at the beginning of each dance. And The last one that we had there about this time last year, there we probably had about 100 people.
Oh, and it's so much fun. People laugh, and you know what's great?
And then by the end of the dance,
right,
everybody's working together. It is just an incredible
thing. And the old
thing.
And young grandmothers mm-hmm. dancing mm-hmm. with grandchildren. Right. And it's,
and the music is the Clatsop County String Band.
That's they're good.
Yay.
Hope and Gina Kiter, which many Yay. Of you know.
Live band.
Larry Moore, which more of you know.
Okay.
And Knox Swanson from Seaside will be playing guitar.
Well, so much fun and such a good cause. Let's keep this available mm-hmm. for our community. So we just have a few minutes left. Gary, any last thing you'd like the listening audience to know?
Well, we would really appreciate those of you out there that can make a decent pie. And we know it's not easy. It's not easy.
That's true. What we're facing is about a $10,000 repair.
Okay. So we need more pies.
Yeah.
And yes, wonderful. Okay. So if you want to donate pies, anything else, Dave, you want to say?
Just nope.
Okay, excellent. So then I want to now come back to Christos Kotsouras and give him a couple of minutes to kind of wrap up this program. Because you're right, you made that connection that they're talking about preserving mm-hmm. community with this mm-hmm. old building, the Untitled Grange, mm-hmm. as you are about preserving Big Red for artists mm-hmm. and community.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all about, preserving history in a way, but in a way to... in a dynamic way that it can really create in itself history. That's the way I see it. I've never seen life or I'm including people, buildings, or places you visit. It's supposed to be a dynamic situation for everybody, and on that give and take. If you want to look ahead to the future, you have to go back to the history. And that's the truth. If you want to eradicate a person or a nation, just take away the history, and it's done. If he has no memory, then there is no existence. So, one way I sometimes prepare myself for the interview, I go back and I know where I'm working, and I go back into the history of art, and I'm looking at work of really big artists that they have put their stamp on this society and this life, and I thought, what will that be? What will that be? The picture, the theme that it goes close to the Big Red and that humble existence that this place has right now. And I thought of the pair of shoes of Van Gogh.
Oh, Van Gogh's boots.
Van Gogh's boots, yeah. It's a pair of boots he bought in the market, and they were too small for him to wear, so he decided to make them his model. He decided to make them his subject matter. Their boots, they were really worn out. So it's about what we say before, to find beauty and find images and pictures everywhere, even though they're difficult to be translated in images. So, and in one of his letters to his brother, Theo, he writes, "To be spiritual is to have an abiding respect for the great mysteries of life and to see the fingerprints of the divine in the most ordinary objects and things."
Oh, that's beautiful.
So with that, I would like to invite you to go to the dance, bring the pies, and if you have some time, come from the exhibition, and in general, look a little bit different yourself and life around you.
Yes, look more deeply, and you're right. Who are we without our history?
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Christos. Thank you, Dave Ambrose. Well.
Thank you,
Gary Sunderland. Thanks, all of you, for the wonderful work you're doing to create again and preserve this wonderful, vibrant community that makes this a special place to live. And thank you so much, Joanne Rideout, for engineering the program this morning. I'm so grateful for that. And my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. We forget to do that, and it's so good for our bodies, our minds, and our spirits. And then focus on the things that are going well in your life. There will always be those things that aren't going well. Focus on the things that are working with gratitude. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can. Everyone is, really. And for being here now in the only moment which exists, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.